Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, where we're smoking weed. We're talking mixed martial arts. This is episode number 126. I'm Jared, here with Paul.
What up?
Coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas. Today, we're going to be smoking and talking all about, does Islam Makhachev deserve a title shot next after his destruction of Bobby Green in last weekend's UFC main event? Then we're going to take a look at UFC 272 and discuss three big fights on there outside of the main event, which sees Colby Covington versus George Masvidal in a grudge match. Also going to discuss Edson Barboza versus Bryce Mitchell and Kevin Holland versus Cowboy Oliveira. Before we get into the combat sports, though, you know what time it is. Grab your weed, fire it up, and let's get into the weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
This week, Paul and I have two different kinds of flour. We've got a little bit of the tripaya pie left over from last episode. And we have added into the mix today some layer cake, which is kind of a hot strain right now in early 2022. Layer cake comes from Swamp Boys Seeds. You can find them over on Instagram at Swamp Boys Seeds, one word. And it is wedding cake crossed with their GMO TK skunk mix. It's got a real nice, like, sweet vanilla-ish smell. And then you hit that skunky bit right after that, so...
Yeah, I mean, wedding cake's one of my more favorite strains, so anything that's crossed with that, I'm in.
Yeah, when you add that GMO, that garlic mushroom onion in there with this Girl Scout cookie lineage, you get some really funky flavors.
Yeah, always.
And the TK skunk, I'm not really sure what that's all about, but you can definitely smell the skunk on this weed.
Yeah.
So, doing fun stuff over at Swamp Boy Seeds. Check them out on Instagram. Let's go ahead and puff down on this, and let's start with last weekend's event at the Apex. And I'm going to be honest, Paul, I didn't watch it. I'm still kind of on my UFC tip left over from our discussions on last week where I'm just like, bleh. But I did watch the highlights of the main event. Mm-hmm. And it was exactly what I expected was going to happen. Maybe a little quicker than I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I was really hoping Bobby would win.
Yeah.
But he, you know, Makhachev gets the first round TKO. You did watch the fight, yes?
Yeah.
What did you think?
Yeah, everything you just said, pretty much. Like, it was pretty rough. Like, it started with, like, Bobby trying to walk Islam down, and he was, like, doing a good job of that. But as soon as Islam started walking him down, I just saw it coming. Like, I was like, oh, here we go. Because, you know, it's like one big thing about when you fight the fight someone like Islam or, you know, a heavy, like, you know, grappling fighter.
Grappling heavy fighter, yeah.
You can't let them walk you down because as soon as they walk you down, you're going to walk into a cage. And as soon as you walk into that cage, you're closing the distance for them. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I think that's kind of what Bobby was a victim of. Is for a second there, he was able to keep him off him. I mean, obviously it was a quick fight. So by second, I mean very, very quickly. But, like, he started the fight coming... marching forward, and, you know, even just kind of use it as example, like, kind of what when Connor fought Khabib, that was like what he did when he had his best round, was when he didn't let Khabib walk him down and he walked him down back.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's one big thing that a lot of these guys don't necessarily do, and they get caught in this situation like Bobby did, where, you know, eventually, like I said, you're closing the distance for them because you walk into a cage, you know. If that's really what it comes down to. Everyone saw it coming, but it definitely was.
It was.
Yeah.
Look, yes, Bobby Green has some wrestling credentials.
Yeah.
But he's not known for them. And Makhachev, like him or not, is on a different level, clearly. But does that warrant this? Because that's what we're really going to talk about, is this buzz afterwards from Khabib and associated team members pushing and Makhachev's fans pushing for this title shot. Even heard insane comments about how Gaethje should just step out of the way.
Yeah,
because, you know, he's on a 10-fight win streak and so on and so forth, which is accurate. He is on a 10-fight win streak. He is 22-1 overall. However, he is ranked 5th in the division. And when you look at his record, this doesn't scream, oh my God, give him a title shot, okay? The numbers are impressive. He's got a win over Dan Hooker, that sub. That was very nice. The win over Bobby Green is okay.
You know what? His thing is, a hardcore can look at this resume and read some of these names and know a lot of them, but you're not going to get very much commercial value as far as like giving him a title shot off wins against these guys.
Like, he's got a knockout loss in 2015 against Adriel Martins. Again, that was a long time. UFC 192. Yeah. Since then, he decisioned Chris Wade. He decisioned Nick Lentz. He KO'd Gleison Taibao. This is at UFC 220 in 2018. Mm-hmm. He's got a sub over John Johnson.
That's the only one I really know who that is.
He's not in the UFC anymore, and he's one of the current fighters bringing the second lawsuit against the UFC.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a really vocal guy, and it's probably why he got released. He's super vocal about unions. Decent fighter. I believe was on Tough.
Okay.
And now that's where you'll see his name. Like, if you Google him, his name's in the news a lot because he is one of the three fighters in the second lawsuit.
Yeah.
And that was in 2018. And then he's got a win over, who is this?
Armin. Yeah, he actually won over the weekend as well.
I thought so. Armin Tsikurian. Yeah. And he's got a win over Davi Ramos, Drew Dober, Thiago Moses. And those are solid.
Those are good wins, but that's like a hardcore thing, wins. Though. Yeah,
these
like
ranked fighters.
All these guys are like prospects just like he is. You know what I mean? Like, they're all guys who are like talented and have a lot of them are specialists too. Like a guy like Davi Ramos, like he's like such a good like jiu-jitsu practitioner that like, you know, when you do You have those kind of fights. One guy wins and one guy gets propelled and one guy kind of stays where he's at. And that's the thing is, like, every time Islam has had these, like, low... I'm not going to call them lower-level fights, but the fights against guys who maybe could be ranked but aren't necessarily ranked at the time, he never follows that up with, like, a signature win. That's what my problem with his resume. He has no signature win.
And that's what he needed this past weekend. Because what's really important about his record, when you're talking about title shots, it's not his undefeated status or his virtually undefeated status. Okay, it's not the 10 fights. It's the last three. And 2021 is when it really counts. Okay, I mean, he fought in September of 2019 against, you were just talking about, Davi Ramos.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he doesn't fight in 2021 or 2020 at all. So let's look at his 2021 campaign. It's Drew Dober, Thiago Moises, and then Dan Hooker. Uh-huh. Is that a title shot there? No. Dan Hooker is a great fighter.
Yeah.
Those other guys they're not even ranked. Not against them. This was his moment. He was scheduled to fight the number three guy.
Yeah.
Benil Dariush. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's currently ranked 3. Islam's ranked 4. Not his fault that fight falls out. He wins that. He does have a case for a title shot, in my opinion. But just because he whoops up on unranked Bobby Green coming off a 3-round decision 2 weeks ago, now he still deserves a title shot when he was in need of it before the fight.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think everybody agrees that's why he was getting this Dariush fight, because he needed a signature win, like you just said, right?
Absolutely.
Not his fault he doesn't get the signature win. Give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Still needs it.
Yeah.
He's got to beat somebody. Above him, he's got Dariush, Dustin Poirier, and then Gaethje with his title shot coming up.
Yeah.
Right below him, he's got Michael Chandler. I think Michael Chandler, even though he's ranked underneath him, would still be a solid fight if that were to happen.
Yeah, that's what he doesn't necessarily even – he just needs a little bit more name value that when you sell that title fight between him and Charles, like there's more storyline to build, because like how can you look at like someone – I'll just give you this is like, look at someone like Charles Oliveira, who had to win so many in a row against the top of the food chain to even get
Ferguson with 14 in a row in the UFC.
Yeah, you know, he beat so many great guys and so many guys on this, like,
he didn't even get there.
Yeah, like he hasn't necessarily. I just don't see it I see it talent wise. I think he's championship level. I do think
it's
there's
hard to deny it.
Yeah, I think there's a situation in which his career where maybe even if he doesn't win it the first time, there will be a time in his career where he's champion. I do believe that. But I do think that he's also not that he's not deserving. Everyone who's in there is deserving. Everyone deserves a shot. Anyone who wins more than 10 in a row, like whatever.
But you can't just give him the shot.
You can't just give him a shot when there's other guys who are fighting the top level guys. That's like what the whole argument with Gaethje is like. Khabib's like, oh, you should just give up his shot because, you know, he only has won one since he lost to me and everything. And it's like, okay, but outside of that, he's beat everyone in the division except mm-hmm. that. So there's no one that you can pinpoint. And he doesn't, that's what I mean. It's like, Justin Gaethje does not have to win 10 in a row to get a title shot like Islam Makhachev has to win 10 in a row to get a title shot.
It's because he didn't come over. Well, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And I've heard people already start to say, well, Conor McGregor got a title shot off beating Dennis Seaver, and that might look like it did on paper, but that's not an accurate statement. He earned his featherweight title shot when he beat number 4-ranked Dustin Poirier with a first-round TKO.
Yeah.
He decided to stay active and take another fight, and the only person available was at that point, and who was the highest ranked, was Dennis Seaver, who was ranked number 10 or 9 at that time. But yeah. He didn't earn the title shot off the Seaver fight. He'd already got it, decided to stay active.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the same situation here where you can say, well, Bobby Green's not even – I mean, Dennis Seaver was at least in the top 10.
Yeah.
If you want to fucking say he earned it that way. But that's not what happened. Yeah. If you go back and look at the history and the decisions made and listen to the reporting at the time,
mm-hmm.
that's what happened.
Yeah.
This isn't it. I'm not dissing Makhachev. You need another fight.
Yeah.
They really need to just rebook the Dariush fight. I'm sorry, but
either rebook it or I really like the idea of him and Dustin Poirier fighting.
Yeah, I don't know if Dustin wants that smoke.
I don't know either.
And I don't mean to imply that he's scared. I hate it when fighters imply that other fighters are scared. I don't mean that at all.
I'm just saying
the win, the reward factor of this fight. I don't know if Dustin, the upside is as high as the downside in taking the fight is what I mean. It's your career. You got to look at it that way, especially when you get to a certain level where you've had some title shots and failed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really going to get you right back into a title shot? If not, maybe you have other options.
Mm-hmm.
That's so. No misunderstanding there. But I don't know if he wants to smoke right now.
I agree. The Dariush fight makes a lot of sense to rebook. Rebook it. But then again, wouldn't mind seeing him and Chandler step in there as well. Because, to the contrary, your last point, I think if Michael Chandler were to go in and beat a guy like Islam, I think that puts him right back in the title picture. Mm-hmm. Based on how the first fight with him and Oliveira went, how he was in a lot of people's mind winning that first round pretty handedly.
Indeed.
And then fucking all goes south. You know what I mean?
Like, Oliveira's true,
yeah.
Bro.
Like,
can't wait to see how he goes against Gaethje.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be a trip, dude.
It's going to be a trip because, like, also, both of them are so fucking wild. Like, Justin Gaethje could just decide just to throw all the caution in the world to the wind and just fucking go for it. You know what I mean?
Now, let's say Makhachev gets the signature win that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, who does he want to see as champion at that point? Does he want to see Gaethje or does he want to see Oliveira? I already know my opinion. I just want to hear yours first.
That's a tough one. Cause
I'll tell you mine while you're thinking about it if you want. I say he wants Gaethje. And that's because of the wrestling and the takedown, and he's just going to take him down and ground and pound him out. And I know that the counter argument to that is Justin's wrestling credentials, and I don't mean this as a diss to Justin. I've met him. He's a nice guy. I'm a fucking fan, but I don't believe in those credentials anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you did 15 years ago in college or something at this point. It matters what you did in your MMA career, and we've mm-hmm. never seen it. So it's a slugger versus brawler. It's a better Bobby Green versus...
Yeah. I'm high as fuck, so I actually need to feel... Just to give you a little bit of a counterpoint here, I'm high as hell. But what happened first? The Gilbert Burns fight with Usman or him and Khabib? Or Gaethje and Khabib, because I do think that matters. Because I think a big part of why Gaethje's wrestling was not up to par was he didn't have the bodies that he would have normally, and he was so focused on his striking. And I do wonder that since Usman has joined that camp, if that has, you know, created more of a challenge in the room every day to keep his wrestling as sharp as possible, you know?
I believe you're correct. I do believe he might have been short on training partners preparing for that due to something along that nature. But it sounds like I'm shitting on him. I'm not. I'm a fucking fan. He's a striker. I don't believe in the wrestling anymore.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
Fucking, when I was, like, age, like, 10 till about age 14, age 9 to age 14, I was, like, real serious skateboarder, like, about to get sponsored kind of serious skateboarder. Yeah. And now that was a long time ago. I still can't claim those credentials.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I can be like, oh, dude, I was about to get sponsored. I'm fucking tearing up. I go out there and I skate with your brother. I'm going to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
And I'm going to crack my fucking dome trying to do something I can't do anymore. Because do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I know it's different. He wrestles in the gym, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just saying it's kind of similar.
It's kind of similar. Like, that,
I used to be able to do some shit. I can't do it now. And if I could, it ain't at that level as a pro.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is it's never a part of the game plan for him either. That's a big part of the reason why he's lost a lot of that too. Is like, one thing I think he's fallen in love with, but it's worked, is his ability to get in there and just outlast people as far as, like, not only mentally and physically, but like the pace he puts on him. Like, and I think that's why, if I'm Islam, I don't want Justin Gaethje as the champion if I'm going to fight him. I think Charles makes a lot more sense, because although Charles is so good on the ground as far as like his jiu-jitsu game, we've also seen guys that are very, very good jiu-jitsu guys that Islam has gone in there with and was able to beat. You know what I mean? Like Thiago Moises and Davi Ramos are pretty top of the food chain level grapplers. And I do think that in a situation where it gets to the ground, I don't know if the pressure is different for Charles. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think Charles whoops him up on the ground.
Think so?
I mean, let's look at Charles' stats. He's also on a 10-fight
win streak. I get Charles' fucking...
But he's also got 9 wins by knockout compared to, I believe, 2. And that includes this TKO.
Yeah.
Yeah. He KO'd Gleison Taibao.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's got this TKO over Bobby Green, and that's it. He's got a lot of subs.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't have as many subs as motherfucking Charles Oliveira
does. Yeah, he's got the most ever. So.
Right. Like, and you're not just going to take him down and sit on top of him and Charles be like, I don't know what to do. Fuck.
No, I don't think
not
that. I just mean
guys.
Prep.
Like, I'm just saying Khabib would have his hands full with Charles, in my opinion. Islam, I think, would too. And I think that's too much. Not saying he can't win.
Yeah.
But I just think compared to Gaethje, that's why I think he would...
You're saying Gaethje's a more winnable fight, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
In
I agree with that. I agree with that. I just feel like there's a lot more danger that also comes with Justin Gaethje as far as, like, getting separated from consciousness compared
Absolutely.
To Charles Oliveira. Like,
yeah, Charles has more knockouts than Islam does, but not... compared to Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, it's a whole different game.
That's a whole different thing. Justin Gaethje's hands of stone.
Yeah.
If he could stay on his feet, I mean, he could probably knock Islam out. He's been knocked out once before. I'm not saying that makes him susceptible. I'm just saying it's
Well, anybody
happen.
Could get knocked out at the end of the day.
Right.
In these,
he hasn't
in
shown
these high-level
iron
title
chin
fights.
Yet.
Like,
I mean, he got KO'd, so
yeah.
He doesn't have the iron chin.
Mm-hmm.
Solid, most likely.
Yeah. Well, I also do think this also just goes back to the point of like 155 being so close, like talent wise across the board, that's why Islam needs that signature win. Like that 10 fight win streak does mean something, don't get me wrong, but because you have such a talent rich division where there's so many guys chomping at the bit and have done so many great things inside the UFC already,
mm-hmm.
that you need
mm-hmm.
to take that from one of them before you can consider yourself one of them. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's what that's what we saw Oliveira do. I mean, he had to fight Ferguson.
He had to fight Ferguson, and he had to take Ferguson off that top 3-4 guy in the division, like Hill. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to get on there and push a motherfucker off if you think that you're going to be you know, on the hill with everyone.
Because you can make a lot of the same arguments against him before that. Like, I mean, he had wins against, you know, Nick Lentz, then Jared Gordon, then Kevin Lee. Okay. But then he had the big test.
Yeah.
And then he fucking wins that one. And then he fights Chandler and wins. And then Poirier, and you can't deny it now.
Yeah. Well, and I also do think fuck. One thing about Charles is that we haven't necessarily seen with seen with Islam, because he tends to kind of follow that same game plan, is Charles has literally rounded his whole game out. You know what I mean? Because early in his career, he was kind of like, you know, like Islam, not in the same way of like style-wise, but I mean like in the way of finishing fights. He would always, whenever things went south, he'd just go straight to his jiu-jitsu.
20 fucking subs. Yeah.
And he would, you know, do what he's got to do. But I do think that's also the same thing with Islam too, is when Islam has had, because he's had some actually pretty good fights in the UFC where he's, you know, he's faced adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that he just tends to, you know, automatically go to the grappling right away. And I don't know if that's going to save him in a fight against Charles Oliveira, you know?
Me neither. It's going to be interesting either way that this plays out in the lightweight division.
Yeah.
But hopefully things can just be simple and the Dariush fight gets rebooked.
Yeah.
Apparently he's electing not to get surgery, Dariush, and hope that his injury just heals. So hopefully that works out.
But I hate that, because that just screams time to me, you know?
And I don't know what Chandler's doing,
but
we'll see.
Well, he's fighting Ferguson.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's fighting Ferguson in May.
Yeah, I fucking forgot that got booked. That's right, yeah.
But I would even the winner of that would make sense for Islam's next fight, you know what I mean? Like, whether it would be, like, Tony or Chandler, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the kind of win he needs.
No, that would be totally acceptable.
Yeah. 100%. But yeah, I think that about rounds that out.
Yeah, let's dive into the fights that we're looking to discuss on UFC's 272, which is the rare thing these days, a UFC pay-per-view headlined by a non-title fight. I don't actually have a problem. I think the idea that a pay-per-view needs to be headlined by a title fight no matter what is fucking stupid. But
I find
this annoying, Paul, because we saw the Francis Ngannou situation unfold because of the UFC's really stupid policy of insisting on having a fucking title fight at the top of a pay-per-view, to the point where they created an interim champion 3 months after crowning a heavyweight champion who could have fought like a month after the date they wanted.
Well,
and we all know this story.
In hindsight, though, I don't necessarily know if that was totally about title fights as much as it was about jockeying for position.
Giving Francis the big FU when it comes to
Europe. And not have, and there being two belts out there.
Yeah, it could be. They're really hoping they could have just made that problem go away with
Gon
coming in and winning, and then he's off his contract and out the door.
Yeah.
A shout. But that's not the discussion right now. We've got Colby Covington versus former friend, training partner, political ally, the whole thing. Two peas in a pod once were Masvidal and Covington.
Yeah.
And now, you know, as everybody, at least in the MMA world, knows, they're pretty bitter rivals.
Yeah.
They're out there talking a lot of shit.
A lot of real personal shit.
Actually, Covington's been real quiet up until now. We're on fight week. He's talking.
Yeah, they're getting real personal. Masvidal has
been out there saying a lot of shit. Dropping a lot of videos.
Yeah.
It's
rough when you start. It's rough when they're like, I don't know. It's tough for me too, because it's like they're starting to like cross the line a little too much, I feel like. And it's not. It's like it's a little too bitter for me. Like, all of a sudden, like, they're bringing in, like, Masvidal's ex-wife and fucking all this bullshit. It's like, all right, guys, like, let's talk shit about your actual abilities. I don't want to hear about who didn't pay whose coach. I don't want to hear about who's fucking whose wife and, like, all that weird shit. Like, that's, I feel like that's just not a place for, like, you know.
No, I agree with you in the concept of that overall.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
it just gets too dark, man.
Fuck, Masvidal brought up that coach's shit. So, yeah. I mean, it's been a minute now.
That seems to be what split them up.
It really is. And I don't... Dude, we don't know what went on there, but I thought that I just don't like that shit, dude. If you have a money problem, a contractual money issue, you don't go on Twitter and out in the media and talk about it, dude. There's actually avenues to you can get your money.
Yeah,
and you don't have to go hire a big ass lawyer. You can just go to small. You can go to small claims court. You can go to other things.
Yeah,
there's arbitration. There's shit you can do where you don't just go to the media and put your fucking dirty laundry out.
But at the end of the day, that also
I don't really care for that. Nor do I care for comments about people's wives and so on from the Covington camp either.
Yeah, that was rough. I was like, both of them, like, cause chill the fuck out with that. Like, talk shit about, like, how good you are and how bad he is at wrestling or some shit like that.
Honestly, a lot of fighters do that across all combat sports when it comes to that shit. They go too far with family and whatever. Shit. It's not exclusive to these two guys, to MMA, or to even to boxing.
Yeah.
It does happen, and I agree. I tend to not like it, but I'll tell you something that I wish more people would just realize a little bit, or maybe not because it helps sell the fights, but I mean, some people seem to forget so quickly and easily that you know, Colby Covington plays a character. You know, if you want to understand Colby Covington and you're new to MMA, and maybe you just see these people talking about, like, there's a big article about, you know, Joanna Young Jacek coming out and talking about what a, you know, piece of shit she thinks he is, etc., because the shit he says. And I'm not saying she doesn't have a right to say that. You just speak your fucking mind, girl.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's kind of like if you watch WWE or Raw or any of these wrestling things, and you start getting mad about a character that one of these guys is in and things they say while they're in character.
Yeah.
Acting out a preconceived role for the cameras that are taking place.
Yeah.
Which is your right to do. If you want to feel it that deep, do it. But I mean, relax, everybody. It's a fucking character. Like, it's not even a question anymore. He's broken character. He's explained it on at least two occasions to journalists.
Here's my only issue with it, is I do think because he has, like, broken character and he has spoke about it and shit, that now he's already at the top of the mountain, so I don't necessarily see the need to continue it. But at the same time, I do agree with you in the fact of, like, it is a character and, like, people, you know, like...
And to refresh people's history, well, like, why does he have a character? Because this seems to have come out of nowhere if you don't know the story. He was threatened with being cut from the UFC for being boring.
Yeah.
UFC was not wanting another talented ass wrestler with a potential of becoming champ to pull a John Fitch on him.
Yeah.
Okay. And he needed to draw headlines and drum up fucking news and get eyeballs on it. And what he chose to do was go political with it, with the whole Trump thing and embracing that, which in this, you know, 20 years ago wouldn't have really been seen as doing anything controversial. Oh, yeah. It was just controversial due to circumstances that the country happened to be in. And then he proceeded to do weird things like have strippers around. Not weird, just he does.
Not weird, but
WWE.
He did it up.
Go out with strippers and fucking costumes, like, and call people nerds and give movie spoilers on Twitter and fucking
shit like
blah, blah, blah. It wasn't just the politics. It was a whole heel persona.
Exactly. It was
a heel persona built around a political nature of support of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And he did a bunch of other things that people got annoyed with and said outlandish shit. And sometimes he says shit that I wish he wouldn't say, like the wife shit.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking shtick.
Yeah.
You don't need to get all butthurt like he's a piece of shit human being.
Yeah.
That's type like of butthurt.
Exactly,
like,
the same thing with like Henry Cejudo. Like, it's the same shit.
Yeah, it's,
like,
it's a shtick. It's the cringy fucking shtick. I mean,
and also, like,
I didn't like his either.
Yeah.
But I don't hate the guy because the shtick. I'm just like, dude, I really don't like the shtick you're doing. Yeah.
And also, that's the thing, too, is like, at the end of the day, people also need to realize is like a big part of why these sticks exist is because of the fucking the UFC, man. They tell these guys like Henry Cejudo, they're gonna fucking fold his division and nobody watches small guys fight. He's got to do something.
Listen to our episode last week and we broke it all down. The UFC don't give a shit about the fighters or their fans. It's on the fighters to promote themselves. These are not professional people. If you don't like Colby's idea, sorry, it actually worked. And B, like, what do you expect? He's not a professional fucking marketer.
No.
He doesn't have, I don't know.
He looked for the quickest thing that would,
at his disposal, like.
But that's the whole point of those sticks is to trigger people, you know what I mean? Yeah. To trigger something in them to either make them want you to win or make them want you to lose. And that's, That's the same thing Mayweather did his whole career. Money Mayweather is a fucking to a certain to a certain extent is a shtick as well. Conor McGregor, the Mystic Max shit, that's a shtick to a certain extent.
A lot of these guys take their real persona and then they turn it up to 10 and add a little twist, like the Trump thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kobe's probably a guy who did talk a bit of shit.
Yeah,
you just amp it up. Like Conor's a guy who does talk shit, but you crank it up when the cameras are on.
Yeah, exactly.
You add a little fucking something else into the mix, and you got a thing.
Yeah,
you see if it fucking takes off.
Yeah,
you can't fucking blame these guys for that. When the company that they're working for is like, you can't blame Henry Cejudo for the whole cringy fucking thing. Like you just said.
But here's the problem when you do carry sticks like this, is when you lose, you do tend to lose your allure a lot quicker. You know?
Yeah, well,
you got a lot more people that go, well, you're not shit now. So, because, you know, you talked all that shit, and then you got shut the fuck up. And, like, that's, I feel like that's kind of where Colby Covington is leaning on. Like, he's a little
Well, you could say the exact
the
same
edge.
Thing for Masvidal.
100%.
Even worse
100%.
Because he played the shtick up as well.
Yeah.
Not to the degree.
This is like such a cornerstone fight for both these guys. Yeah. Like, this is like do or die for both of them. Because, like, Colby's at a point where he's in a division where he can beat everybody but the champion. And Masvidal's in a spot where he fucking created all this buzz, but he's in the same spot where he's in a division where he cannot defeat the champion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it's do or die time. You know, it's really for both these guys. And they're both not getting any younger. Looking at Colby's 34, Masvidal's 37. Like, these guys.
Masvidal is closest. I mean, Masvidal's, look at his fight years. He's 35 and 15.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to 16 and 3 for Covington.
Yeah.
And
I
mean,
just mean neither of them are young cats.
Yeah. And I would argue that, you know, you've got Maz coming off the back to back losses to Usman, and then you've got a win over Woodley sandwiched in between two losses to Usman on Covington's side. But I do think that Covington fared a lot better against Kamaru Usman in both bouts.
Yeah.
And,
cool. Masvidal got flatlined by Usman.
Right. Like, I mean, but that part of it's clear, but then you look at the decision as well. I just think it's, when it comes to the fight itself now, how's it going to go? I mean, if you look at the stats-wise, they're actually pretty similar. Until you get to one particular area. I mean, their height is the same. The reach is basically the same. They're both orthodox. I mean, Maz's got a couple inches reach, but that really doesn't matter. Not like it does in boxing.
Yeah.
Strikes landed per minute, they're both about 4. You know, striking accuracy is around the same. Absorbency is around the same. But the grappling would come into a pretty big difference. I mean, Colby Covington's got a serious grappling advantage over Masvidal.
I mean, yeah, his average takedowns are 4-1.
Yeah. Like.
But I'll give Masvidal this, though. He has pretty good takedown defense percentage. 75%. That's pretty high.
He does. He's not a slacker.
But
in it.
Here's the problem. Is every single time Masvidal has been, quote-unquote, dominated, has been based on a grappling, you know, a grappling game plan. Mm-hmm. Like, I know we're looking way back when you think about this, but, like, look at around UFC 200 when he fought fucking Damian Maia. Damian Maia just took him down and held him there, and he was so frustrated. And then you look at after that, he fights Wonder Boy, who's a kickboxer. Wonder Boy is able to, you know, keep him at bay on the feet and then takes him down, what, like, 2 or 3 times in the last two rounds, and then ends up winning that fight as well. So it's like... Since then, though, we really haven't seen much, like, people grapple with him other than Usman. You know what I mean? And, like, I feel like those were all the fights that he had his best fights. You know, the Till, Askren, and Nate Diaz fight where, you know, he genuinely just kind of, you know, kept it on the feet. Now, obviously in all of them except the Diaz.
Yeah, he has a KO over Till, which, I mean, he was in trouble, I think, if he hadn't got that KO. I don't know if he would have survived a long fight.
It
there,
was a
but
it
that
was
don't matter.
The dog fight, you know, that's what you don't want to get, and that's what my biggest point here is. Like, if in situations where Masvidal gets in these like super technical fights where people use a lot of their grappling and shit like that, he tends to do not too well. Mm-hmm. But in a dog fight, I'm taking George all day. That's the thing. Is like, if this turns
over
into
Covington,
though? No. I think Covington's going to win the fight. I'm just saying there's two ways this fight
goes.
Yeah,
I mean, even in a dog fight, because Covington's got
strikes. See, if it gets in a dog fight, I think Colby's in trouble. Because
I mean, look at his fights against Usman, Lawler.
I know. Those are great fights, but it's a pace versus power thing.
Like, he poured it on Woodley.
Yeah, but it's a pace versus power thing to me. I think that the pace that Colby can put on George on the feet is definitely dangerous, but I also think that a big part of that got Colby in trouble in the first Usman fight is when he keeps that pace, he leaves openings. Okay. And that's where I feel like Masvidal doesn't even have to be winning the fight. He could just end the fight because he carries that kind of power that, like, if he hits you on the button, there's a lot of guys in the division that are going to fall. Like Till, like Diaz, like, those are tough guys as far as, like, you're talking about, like, strikers. And if he's able to drop guys like that, I think that's the thing. It's like, I think if this goes the right way and Colby stays technical and does what he does best in there, he beats George all day. But the second he lets it become a dogfight, it gives George maybe not, you know, not all the chance to win, but it gives him so much more of a chance to win if Colby just gets, like, in his feelings about what's going on and they go try to rip each other's heads off.
Do you think we're
going
to see wrestling from Covington?
He needs to wrestle him straight up. Yeah. He will dominate him if he wrestles him. But he just gives him an opportunity to win if he doesn't.
Yeah, this isn't the Usman fight where the wrestling kind of canceled each other out. What's your prediction?
I think Colby wins by decision.
Lopsided decision or close? Like 3-2 or
George
like 5-0?
The first, I'd say it's 4-1. George wins the first round, and then Colby gets it together after the first and wins the next four rounds with wrestling.
I'm expecting a complete and utter domination by Covington. I don't expect this to be a fight, really. I think it'll go the distance. But if, as long as he doesn't do like you did, just turn it into a fist fight. A fist fight, Masvidal's got a chance.
Yeah. Exactly how the Usman fight goes.
Steamrolls him with his wrestling, pressures him with constant pressure, wrestling, takedowns, ground and pound. I just don't see a path to victory for Masvidal.
I just think if he wrestles him, it'll be exactly what happened the first time he fought Usman for Masvidal. He'll just really have too much of an answer for it. And like, but he cannot. I just don't think it's a good idea to ever get in a dogfight with Masvidal. He's been there too many times in his life and his career that, like, it just doesn't faze him when he's in that dogfight. You know, that's the difference. Is like, Colby is tough. Like he's got a motor on him, and you know he's a wear you down kind of guy. Masvidal's the other side. He's the guy who is just like gonna be there all day. You know, no matter how the fight's going. Mm-hmm. Good or bad, he's going to be there the whole time, ready to go. So, who do you have?
I got Colby. I think a TKO is possible, a late TKO. I'm going to go Colby, fifth round TKO victory.
I think Colby just wins the unanimous decision, probably 4-1.
And I don't think these guys are going to bury the hatchet afterwards.
No,
either.
I think
for a while I believed it was a work. No, I thought they were working us.
I think it has the chance to get another level of bad if everyone is not ready.
Especially
after
if it's an
ass
whipping one way or the other,
or if it's boring. Like what? Especially if it's like a situation where Colby maybe like doesn't put that same pressure on him on the ground and just takes him down and keeps him there and just kind of, you know, does his game and just, you know, hits him with body shots or, you know, just keeps Masvidal there and it goes five rounds, there's a chance it spills over past five rounds, without a doubt. And I think the UFC needs to be ready for that because they were not ready for it when the Khabib-Conor fight happened and we all saw what happened there, you know. And that's a very similar situation too because it's not only George that Colby has a problem with. It's everybody at American Top Team. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know Dustin Poirier is going to be front row. You know Joanna and all these fighters. You know they're all going to be front row. And they're all these articles and all this shit. Dustin Poirier saying he'd never fight Colby in a cage. It's going to happen in the streets. Like, there's so much shit that could spill over after this fight.
I'm so tired of that shit. And you know why the problem gets to this level where you actually have to talk about that. Because of the fucking MMA media turns these things into stories and then amplifies it to where people feel they have to respond.
You know, like, yeah.
Motherfuckers wouldn't even know the other side was talking shit, really.
Sometimes,
y'all would just quit blowing it up like it's such a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, they don't do this in boxing. You don't go on boxing, at least, maybe there's the outlier sites where they do this shit, but you don't go in boxing and they don't discuss fucking Twitter feuds and make them into news stories and so on. So,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes during the pre-fight buildup, yeah, that happens. This isn't pre-fight buildup. This is like an entire gym just talking shit.
Yeah.
Because one dude
left. That's the difference, too, is it's not
airing all your bullshit gym. Yeah. Who knows? It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm not saying they're lying.
Yeah.
I'm saying all of it is horseshit. We don't need to hear it. We don't need to talk about it.
It's one thing to have a guy on your podcast in the build-up to a fight, and he goes, yeah, they kicked me out of American Top Team. Fuck Dustin Poirier. Fuck them. Fuck Joanna. Fuck them. Fuck Dan Lambert. Mm-hmm, all that shit. Mm-hmm. But it's another thing for him to tweet that and write a fucking 500-word article about how much they hate each other,
right,
and go through the whole shit of everything that's happened and all that. Those are just two complete different things. And I think one way is the right way, because I like to hear it from the person, like, you know what I mean? And like,
that's
I think
press
that's like
conferences
an interview. Yeah,
Twitter.
Exactly. Press conferences, interviews, all that shit.
News article about somebody's tweets.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it boils down to. We don't need news articles about tweets when tweets are designed to promote, usually.
Yeah.
Fighters tweeting to promote themselves in some way. Mm-hmm. But you're not helping when you do news articles about it. You're just highlighting the bullshit.
Yeah.
Because somebody comes along and says something somebody else finds offensive, and then it just spirals out of control and the shit that has nothing to do with the fights.
Yeah.
Like, we all enjoy the animosity. They're fucking two grown-ass adults fist fighting.
Yeah.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
But it's just out of hand.
But it's already there. You know what I mean?
Out of hand.
That's also the same thing, though. It's like, that animosity's already there. Like, let it breathe for a minute, you know? I want to see what happens. I don't want to.
And it's just selective outrage. Certain fighters they get mad at.
Uh-huh.
Certain fighters they don't. It's just an unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
But there is a couple other fights that we want to talk about. We've made our predictions there for Colby and George. Let's talk about Edson Barboza versus Bryce Mitchell. This is a fucking good fight, man.
Yeah.
Edson Barboza is still hanging around down a featherweight here.
It's a real test for Bryce Mitchell.
It is a real test for Bryce Mitchell. And it's not a must win for Barboza. He's not in that type of situation yet. But
he'll never be in that ever in his career, because I don't really view him as a title contender, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's 3-1 in his last three fights. I mean, he's coming off the loss to
4-5.
Yeah, I mean, he's 2-1 in his last two. His win-win-loss is what I'm saying. He lost to Felder, lost to Ige, then he won two, then he lost to Chikadze.
Yeah.
His name stumbles out of my mouth. But Bryce Mitchell's 14-1. Man, he's no joke. He is coming off, he's on a decent win streak. He's coming off a win over Andre Feely. Mitchell's solid, man. His grappling is solid. His takedowns are pretty solid. His striking is pretty solid. And he's kind of, you know, flying under the radar as a young fighter.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real big test for him with Edson Barboza, and I hope Barboza doesn't take him too lightly.
Well, I think it really is coming down to, like, how much has Bryce Mitchell's striking developed in this time, because one thing about him, he's got some really slick, like, jiu-jitsu that you don't really see coming, and I think
he's got a lot of subs.
Yeah, so I think if he was smart, he would take this to the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's his best path to victory is going to be taking it to the ground and subbing Barboza. But if he's got to hang on his feet for a minute, he can do it. But that's how these guys always wind up losing, is they try to hang on their feet for too long.
Yeah,
but this is a guy who will take shots to get inside.
He'll eat something to get in
and get that takedown.
Well, that's just such a dangerous game when you're talking about Barboza, bro. His striking is just so next level when you talk about, like, his kicks and, you know, all the different kicks he can hit you with and you just don't even see him coming, and how he uses them to set up his whole game. That, just like you were saying a second ago, if Bryce Mitchell spends too much time trying to figure out if he can hang on the floor, he could be so behind so quick. Like, you know what I mean? On the feet. He could look up and either be knocked out or just not even see how far behind he is on the scorecard.
Yeah, he has got 9 subs and 14 wins, and he was on a pretty heavy submission streak, but then he hit the UFC and had, you know, some decisions in there. He wound up getting like 3 decisions to only 1 sub since he's been in the UFC.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was every victory. So with the increased competitions, his, you know, ratio has gone down a bit. However, we've seen Barboza be susceptible to this type of thing. So in this event I'm going with, who I'm pretty sure is going to be the underdog. I haven't seen the line here in Vegas on this fight, but I am picking Bryce Mitchell with the upset here.
Yeah, I think it's just a little too much too soon. I think Barboza wins.
Barboza's got him. He might. It'd be interesting to see if Barboza can hang at featherweight and turn this into some kind of a run.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then also on the card, we have Kevin Holland taking on Cowboy Oliveira.
His this is
debut
interesting.
At 170 pounds.
Yes, that's very interesting, the 170 debut. I like this fight. Cowboy Oliveira is a solid test for Kevin Holland here at this weight class. He's a big dude as well. He's not one of these, for lack of a better way to phrase it, blown-up lightweights that came off the welterweight. He is a solid, big motherfucker.
I think him and Kevin Holland have a very similar body style.
Yeah. Kevin Holland, of course, coming down from 185. I think this is the great, great, great first test for him. Now, I see Kevin Holland getting the victory here.
Yeah, me too.
I think he is a rare talent. I think we've still got some stuff to see, and I think he's been working hard on shoring up that takedown defense.
Yeah, he's been training at AKA, trying to get, you know, better with his takedowns. And there's really, you know, that's one of the best gyms in the world, like, if you're talking about grappling, so.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we talk about Khabib fought out of AKA. We talk about Daniel Cormier out of AKA.
Yeah, Cain Velasquez.
There you go. Yeah.
So many great wrestling.
And the wrestling coaches that they have there are outstanding.
Yeah.
And Kevin
Reese, John Fitch there too?
He was, before they had the big split with Koscheck.
It's just like a hub, you know what I mean, as far as like grapplers in the MMA scene.
Koscheck was at AKA too, wasn't he? And then he left, and there was that split, and Koscheck went and started his own thing. And I think Fitch left at that point too, but
yeah.
Dude, that's like ancient MMA history at this
point. I just mean who? Like, it's just been a factory of just like great grapplers throughout the history 100%. Of the sport.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And Kevin really seems like he's been putting in the work if you look at his Instagram and his social media.
Plus, they got all those freaking guys from Dagestan that Khabib brings over, and they just like, they run that thing like a factory, you know?
So I think he's been putting in that work. I think Cowboy's going to test him. And I think he's going to get lit the fuck up.
Yeah, I think he's going to knock him out.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I see a nice, solid statement win here from Kevin. I hope it goes at least into the second round, and I hope we can see some of this improved takedown defense that we're talking about. But Kevin likes to talk and flaunt shit, and I hope that he doesn't try to specifically show that. Because I see that could be a reason that he would lose this fight. Would be specifically trying to showcase his improvements in the fight instead of just focusing on winning the fight. And that could lead to mistakes against a very seasoned and wily veteran in Cowboy Oliveira.
That's a good point.
Who is a seasoned, solid grappler. His BJJ is legit. And he's got some power in his strikes. He's a solid test. So Kevin needs to be careful. Don't feel you need to prove to us you can get that takedown defense better, but I would like to see it in the natural course of events.
Yeah, well, that's really where, you know, the evolution a lot of these guys come is, are you doing what makes you better, or are you figuring out how to win? Like, and that's what separates, you know, the guys that are at the top of the game and the guys that are still maturing as fighters, because you can see a lot of these guys who are at the top that aren't necessarily complete and you can see it, but they're never going to not address it, but you know what I'm saying? They're not going to go out of their way inside of a fight to prove a point as far as their grappling or how good of a striker they are, because I'm just going to do what fucking works. You know what I mean? And there's a point for both schools of thought. You know, obviously you want to win, you want to do what works, but you also want to show that no matter where it goes, we're still winning. You know what I mean? And that's what separates everybody.
Well, I'm looking forward to tuning in UFC 272 this upcoming weekend on pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
Wraps the show for today, my friend. Yep. You're brand new. You can catch us everywhere you find podcasts, from Spotify to Amazon, or even on old Apple Podcasts, where we've got a 5-star rating and over 100 reviews.
Hell yeah.
We're on a couple of radio Thank stations. You, everybody. We got video on YouTube. We take all that info and we stick it in a handy spot for you.
SWATMMA.com, where you can head over there, click the gear button, support the podcast, and then head over to Instagram and follow us at SWATMMA Podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
Peace.